Great to be joined by 8th District Congressman Jason Smith from Salem. And this is on the heels of the State of the Union last night, which would have been Tuesday night. First of all, Jason, where were you? I know that you've been part of kind of the committee or group of people that does enter with the president, and you always have a good seat as well. What was it like for you right prior to the State of the Union?
You know, it's great to be part of it. The president asked me once again to help with the escort committee, to help escort him into the chamber. And so before that happens, you're actually with the president for maybe 15, 20 minutes before you hear him announce the president of the United States and you walk through that door. And so I was able to talk to him about a lot of things, and it was interesting. In fact, you wouldn't think the President of the United States is about to give a State of the Union address to millions of Americans, and 10 minutes before, he's talking about how much he loved the rally he had in Cape Girardeau 3 hours before election night, and I sent out another invite. I was like, you're more than happy to come back to the 8th Congressional District. But literally, he was in very good spirits, and I thought that he presented a very incredible speech. In fact, I've heard a lot of speeches. I've worked with the president for over 2 years now, and I believe that was the best speech I've heard him give.
I don't think I've ever thought of this before, but you were talking about getting the read of his demeanor prior to the speech. Does he get nervous at all? He actually doesn't seem like the type of guy to me, as I watch him, that ever gets nervous.
I have never seen him nervous. What I did appreciate is, in fact, whenever he was given a speech, it reminded me of how he is with working with members of Congress when you know, he's getting down to the details and negotiating. He was very reasonable and had a very good approach. I loved how he started at the very beginning. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. It's about Americans. And these are the policies that we need to move forward. I thought it was spectacular, the 12, 13 different guests that he had and introduced them, probably some of the best introductions that I've seen. You're talking about three World War II veterans who, you know, a Holocaust survivor, a young girl who's a cancer survivor, Buzz, who put the astronaut put the flag on the moon 50 years ago. He gave examples of American greatness and showed how the greatness of 50 years or 100 years ago on how the greatness that we can still have today if we put our partisan differences aside and actually work together.
Certainly a call for unity is a requisite of really any State of the Union address or an inauguration or anything like that. But I don't know. Let me ask you, you're in the room all the time. I mean, even in an Obama speech, you had somebody yell out during one of his speeches that he was a liar during it. So does the call for unity, is that ever accepted, or is it just completely as divisive as it ever is?
You know, it's unfortunate. Whenever you were watching some of the items that the president would say, whether it was to eliminate drug traffickers and human traffickers, there was numerous members that were basically glued to their hands were glued to their seats where they refused to clap. I think the biggest issue between Democrats and Republicans are not that they want the same outcome for the most part, it's how you get to those outcomes. But it's unfortunate that when you're talking about record unemployment for women, the women wouldn't clap. The Democrat women wouldn't clap unless they were talking about what the president said, you know, record female members of Congress, and then they all clapped for themselves. But it's unfortunate. We all want a booming economy. We all want national security. We all want to be safe and protected. We just need to find the right avenues that we can agree on to be there.
That did seem to be really the one truly unifying aspect is, you know, that celebrating 100 years of suffrage, and I thought it was, you know, kind of neat, a good visual with the ladies there in Congress dressing in white so people could see them as they stood. They stood and applauded during that part, not only talking about the record number of women now in Congress, but also with all the jobs being added. The president referred to that 58% of those new jobs are being filled by women. That seems seemed to be a pretty unifying theme.
Well, definitely under the policies that the president proposed with tax cuts, which I helped author and work with the president, and with the deregulation have led to a booming economy that has led to the lowest unemployment in over 50 years and the lowest unemployment ever for women and the lowest unemployment ever for African Americans and more people working in the United States than ever before right now. So we have a booming economy. Definitely there's been results from deregulation and the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. That's something to be very proud of. It shows that if we all work together, we can accomplish greatness, but there's still yet more to do. He talked about the high cost that every American's paying with health care, prescription drugs, how we need to rebuild our crumbling roads and bridges. I think infrastructure is something we might be able to work together on bipartisan. Our president is a builder. He wants to build things. As you can see, he wants to build a wall along the southern border. He wants progress, he wants development, and he wants things to be accomplished and completed. And he talked about immigration reform, national security, stopping drug traffickers. He talked about how, addressing the opioid epidemic. He talked about curing AIDS. He talked about helping treat and cure juvenile cancer. So many items. The president was on top of it, and so many things that all Americans believe in.
Congressman Jason Smith joining us to talk about the State of the Union from Tuesday night. And the polls show that Americans are behind the president when he talks about withdrawing troops from Syria and Afghanistan, but it doesn't seem like the Democrats are in lockstep with that.
You know, we don't need to be... We need to make sure that we're protecting our country, we're protecting ourselves, and there's a lot of intelligence and information that has to go on whenever you're deciding of pulling troops in or out of various countries, and we just need to be very careful, very smart whenever we do that. So it's not something you just do at the drop of a hat.
You know, the other polling demonstrated that Americans are blaming the president a little bit more on the government shutdown than the Democrats, but yet it's still something that we have to work through. One of the major planks, certainly, of the speech was the president insisting that he will get a wall built on our southern border, and the Democrats have not budged on that. Do you anticipate, Jason, there'll be another shutdown?
Well, I can tell you the people in southeast Missouri strongly support making sure the border's secure, and they support building a wall. I know that. I can show you by how many people have been contacting our office. Polls that I've done in southeast Missouri, the people of the 8th Congressional District want to secure their borders. And the president said it best a couple weeks ago when he said that you don't build walls because you hate the people on the outside. You build walls because of the people you love on the inside. It's about protecting all Americans and making sure we know who's coming in and out of our borders. You hear people say, well, there's only so many 100,000 people that's crossing the border illegally. Really? Well, how do you know? Because if you don't have a barrier there, how can you really predict who's crossing the border? We have to know who's coming in and out of our country every day. It's a matter of national security. I was talking to a border agent just in the last month. They found they found IDs and passports of over 40 different countries within 1 month. 40 different countries. Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Afghanistan, along the southern border.
Do you anticipate there'll be another shutdown over the issue, Jason?
You know, we got a lot of negotiations to do. The president said that he'll meet with anyone at the table, and I can tell you that during the last government shutdown, I would be right with the House leadership, and we would have the president on the phone. 1 weekend, we had the president on the phone 7 times in trying to organize an agreement between Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer with Mitch McConnell, and Nancy would not budge. I'm hopeful that she'll decide to budge, but she has her work cut out for her. I mean, when you watch the State of the Union address, when the president said we are not a socialist country, almost half of her party would not clap. They sat there upset because there's a lot of Democrat socialists that were just recently elected that I serve with. And it was kind of disappointing on some other issues, whether it was when the president talked about the Virginia governor who made the comments about killing a baby after it's born. I mean, birth matters, and whenever not one person on the other side thinks that that's murder, that's a problem. We're not talking about abortion. We're talking about a child being born alive and then deciding whether you want to kill it.
Yeah. And is there, I mean, is there any agreement on that? Because to me, Jason, ethically and morally, you know, there are pretty firm boundaries on where people stand on that issue. But politically, it's been an interesting issue, I think, because there are so many different facets and there are so many different ways to go around kind of the edges of this issue without overturning, you know, the major decision in the whole thing. And this is another one along that line. Is there any agreement on that?
I hope so, because this is not about abortion. This is about a baby being born alive. Mm-hmm. And is living and breathing, and then a doctor and a mother deciding whether to kill it. It's not in the womb. This is outside breathing that they are arguing about. So when, if you allow it then, okay, say the first 36 hours of its life, that's okay. Well, what about the first 36 months of their life? Is that going to be okay? It just, it's a God-given right to life. It's, I mean, we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's in the Declaration of Independence. We're not talking about abortion. We're talking about birth. And I just don't see how that is even part of a discussion.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting the tack that the president took, basically saying, if we want to move forward, don't investigate me. Well, sometimes that seems like that might not be the best way to deter an investigation, is just telling people not to investigate you. How did you see that?
You know, the president has a really good point, and I've been saying that all along. Nancy Pelosi can decide if she wants to legislate or investigate. The Ways and Means Committee, we have a hearing tomorrow. What is it about? Investigating the president's tax returns. So they've been in office for a month, and this is what they're going after. This is the biggest priority that the Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee, which is the Tax Writing Committee, which is the committee that's over Medicare, which is the committee that's over trade, which is the committee that's over Social Security insolvency, and their number one priority is trying to get the president's tax records. That's not about families in Southeast Missouri. That's not about families in North Dakota. I think they need to get their priorities right. And Congress has the duty of oversight of the executive branch. Absolutely. We have it's the separation of powers, judiciary, executive, and legislative. But you need to legislate more than you investigate. And clearly, we've been seeing that their priority may be investigation.
Any other takeaways from last night?
You know, I think that the president did a wonderful job. He was very impressive, and he has showed that he's willing to reach across the aisle and help. He's offered every member of Congress to come to the table to get this negotiation, to make sure we fund government, to secure our borders. He wants to have some serious infrastructure reform. He wants to reduce the cost of prescription drugs and health care. There are some things we can work together. I just hope that people will legislate rather than investigate.
Now, I was joking with you before we came on our interview, and I said, so what happens right after the State of the Union? Everybody hit the bars? I was kidding about that, but you sounded like you were very busy afterward.
I was. I was actually doing several interviews and calling people back home and meeting with members and actually trying to work on some policy. But it's a never slow day in Washington, D.C. when we're in session.
Thanks for your time today, Jason.
It's good to be with you, Chad.
Jason Smith, 8th District Congressman from Salem, joining us here on kind of the breakdown of the State of the Union address by President Trump on Tuesday night.